Welcome to Eco Living in Action, a half-hour sustainable living show with Maureen Howard. Maureen chats with a different guest each week about their sustainability activities and initiatives, from advice on tiny houses to rooftop gardens to wildlife-friendly farming practices. Maureen's guests are passionate individuals who are making a difference. Eco Living in Action, proudly supported by Taste Nature.
And welcome to Eco Living in Action. I'm Maureen Howard, host of this show. Now, here in Dunedin, we live in a beautiful part of the world, but caring about our environment, particularly in the global context, can leave us feeling a bit anxious, overwhelmed, or possibly even depressed. So concerned about biodiversity loss, climate change, plastics in our oceans, soil erosion, the list goes on, and as adults, it can be hard work emotionally dealing with these issues and staying resilient and purposefully hopeful for the future. But what about for our kids? Because this is their future. How do we prepare them for the challenges ahead? And how do we protect them from feeling unsafe or overwhelmed? And when's the right time to talk to our children about serious challenges such as climate change? Many of these questions, many of you will be familiar with Enviro Schools. Now, it's a New Zealand-wide program, and it's positively addressing environmental issues and concerns with our kids. And it's doing it in ways that the kids find fun, challenging, and motivating. Now, in the studio today with me to share her thoughts about the issues that I've brought up is Robin Zink. Robin is Enviro School's regional coordinator for Otago. It's a position that she's held for nearly 2 years now. And prior to this, she was involved in outdoor education with school teachers. And she even has a PhD in outdoor education. So welcome to the show, Robin.
Thank you very much, Maureen. It's lovely to be here with you.
Lovely to have you on this beautiful day. I think Dunedin's looking particularly beautiful today.
It is very gorgeous out there at the moment.
But you did come into the studio, so I'm very grateful, yes. So, you know, just a little bit now, so you've been, I guess you're finding your feet now and enjoying your position. It's quite a good time to be in the job. You're not too new, but it's still really fresh.
Yes, I'm still really excited about this role, and it's such a varied role, and it has taken me quite a while to, as you say, find my feet in this role, but I think I am beginning to understand how schools operate across Otago and how facilitators that work with those schools can best support those schools in their work with Enviro Schools.
Mm, and so do you do a lot of travelling to meet with the teachers?
My role is primarily to support the facilitators that work with the schools, and the facilitators are employed by each of the councils across Otago. So we have two facilitators here in Dunedin, one in the Clutha district, one in the Central Otago district, one based in Queenstown, one based in Wanaka, and we very recently have one now based in the Waitaki. So I do travel around and work with them, and then sometimes do get the privilege of going to visit schools and work in schools alongside those facilitators.
Mm. So it's quite a lot of one-on-one with you and the particular facilitators, is that right?
There is quite a bit of one-on-one, and I also work really closely with them when we organise HUI and workshops. So we have regular workshops for teachers where we bring teachers together and usually exploring a different theme. So this year so far we've been exploring waste quite a lot. It's very topical at the moment. So we've run a teacher workshop here in Dunedin and also one in Queenstown for around waste for teachers. And the aim of those is to upskill teachers' knowledge and also to give them some ideas around how to approach topics like waste with their students and give them some resources around that. We're going to have another, we're running some student HUI shortly as well. One is going to be over based in Wanaka, and we're going to be having a water theme for that one. And we're still in the very early stages of planning, so we're not quite sure what we're doing there with that at the moment. But we do have another one here in Dunedin in later in August for year seven to ten students. And the theme for that is actually going to be climate change. So we're going to be looking at some of the science behind climate change. We're going to be talking about the carbon cycle, how that works. And then what we're going to look at is looking at the energy that they use, particularly around transport, and how they can calculate that energy, and then ways that they can mitigate that. And one of the key ways around that is planting trees. And so the afternoon will be spent outdoors doing some planting with those students. So they'll come away with some ideas about why we're doing the planting work, but also some strategies around how they can reduce their or minimise their energy use.
Mm. And so ACTION is a very central part of EnviroSkills, is that right?
Yes, ACTION is a really central part. So we work with five guiding principles, and one of those guiding principles is the empowered students. So not only are they learning some theory around various sustainability issues, but what we hope that they do is get motivated to think about how can I make a difference, or what can we do in our school around that particular issue, and then support them to take action around those things.
And do you think that's one of the keys then? You know, it's because often as adults we do hear a lot of negative news, but we don't actually then jump out of our seats and go and plant the tree, do we?
Yeah. And I think that's a real strength of EnviroSkills, that it is so action-focused, and it's supporting students to take those actions. And I think also in terms of dealing with being overwhelmed with climate change, because as you say, even as adults, I know I get completely overwhelmed by some of the climate change news that's happening. If I can see a way to take an action that is going to make a difference, then I feel much more positive about a way forward, and I feel like, oh yes, there are ways that we can work with climate change and work with the communities that we're in to make ourselves more resilient.
So really, we kind of need a lot of applying this EnviroSkills to adults as well.
Absolutely. I think it's a great model, because another component of that we work with is sustainable communities. So not only are we working within the school community, within the school, but we're working to support schools to connect really strongly with their communities. And again, it's building those relationships and networks so they can draw on each other's expertise and learn from each other, and imagine different ways for communities to be so that they do become more resilient and stronger communities.
Mm. And so it starts right from when the kids start school?
We work in it from early childhood right through to secondary. And early childhood is where our greatest demand is coming from at the moment. And that's a great sector to be working in, because the kids are just so receptive to the ideas. And Te Whariki, the curriculum that informs early childhood, fits really well with the EnviroSkills kaupapa. So the teachers can pick those ideas up really quickly and easily and incorporate it into the work that they're doing in their early childhood centres.
That's great, isn't it?
It is great, yeah.
It's just sorting all the waste.
And
the worm farms.
Absolutely, and the gardens and the butterflies and all sorts of things like that. And it is amazing the knowledge that those children take from that early childhood centre into the primary school. And I've heard lots of stories where children who have been at an EnviroSkills early childhood centre then go to a non-EnviroSkills primary school and are quite shocked at that there's no recycling and there's no garden, and just that the practices that they've got used to aren't happening in those schools.
That's great. And so they ask their teacher why.
They're wanting to know, where do I put my rubbish, where's the recycling bin, where do I clean out my yogurt pottle, all of those things that they've learnt at the early childhood centres, where's the garden. And
And I don't know if there's been any research done on this, but have you any idea of what extent to which the children then go home and influence their parents, and you get feedback on that?
That's a key question, and it's certainly an area I'd like to do a lot more research in. We have a lot of anecdotal stories from that, and I certainly have been cornered by parents who who say, my children won't let me use Glad Wrap at home anymore. And certainly talking to students, they talk about how things have changed in their homes with families now recycling more, or parents taking reusable bags to the supermarket. So yeah, there's quite a lot of stories. I did hear recently of one young woman who was growing up on a farm and who lives on a farm, and she went home one day to her father and said, I'm not going to talk to you until you start riparian planting. which might be a little bit more extreme.
But I know when you're young, you do get pretty fervent. But,
yes,
I remember being very fervent.
Yes, yeah.
I hope he started some planting.
Yes, yeah, apparently he did, yeah. But yeah, he took her advice.
That's great. So, you know, in the beginning of, I was talking about, you know, some of the difficult questions and dealing with the difficult issues. And how do you broach that? So you talked about one aspect, you know, bringing it in as science. Is that how you address it, or for climate change in particular?
For climate change, that is one way to start addressing it, bringing it in as a science question. How does the world work? I think particularly with younger children, it's really good to take a lead from them in terms of what their interests are. So if they're interested in insects, for example, it's talking about what sort of insects live in our backyard, going and having a look around what's in our backyard, what makes a good insect home, what is bad for insects, what makes it hard for them to live in our neighbourhood. So I think just really simple questions like that, getting them to observe what's going on in their environment and sort of prompting them to think about what can I do to look after the things that I'm interested in my environment. So you don't have to go straight to the big climate change issue or the loss of biodiversity, but it's prompting them to think about how can I make a difference in my backyard.
So particularly at that younger age, and I guess at the older age, they do start to look at these big questions.
And I think they start to ask those big questions,
and they hear it on the media.
I think I think we owe it to people to talk to them about these things. But again, I think it's really important to think about, as well as talking to them about the issues around climate change, it's really important to think about how can we do something in our everyday lives that could make a difference here, whether it's walking to school rather than being driven to school, making sure we take our reusable shopping bags. And although those might sound quite minor things, again, it's if we're all doing them, it makes a big, big difference. And I was just talking to the students from Carisbrook who took that petition to ban the single-use plastic bag the other day, who I know you've interviewed here. And one of the things I was asking them about that is, you know, what was one of the best things about going through the whole petition process? And their view on it was that one of the best things has been it's been an opportunity to have some different conversations with people and open up a different discussion than would have been possible without them doing that, running that petition. So I think sometimes we sort of think, oh, if we want to see a big change, but by doing little things, we have conversations that are a little bit different, the people who then start to think a little bit differently as well. And I think we can't underestimate the power of that.
No, we can't. And also I think, you know, we can't, I find it hard if to talk about those big issues if you're not actually doing something yourself. You know? People say, well, what are you doing?
Yeah, that's right. And kids pick up really quickly on that. I've been pulled up by kids quite a few times about when I've been talking about looking after the environment, and then they go, oh, but you drove here in a big car. And it's like, yeah, I did. And that's reality of the life that we're leading at the moment. But then I'm doing other things around that. So.
That's right. Mm. And we're all on a journey.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's one of the things we talk to the schools a lot about, is that it's always a journey and a process. And sometimes they managed to do some really amazing things around sustainability, and then for various reasons they might lose their way a little bit. Sometimes it's because other things are happening in the school, and then it's like pick that up again. So again, it's recognizing that it is a journey and that we have to deal with a whole lot of things all the time. So
Enviro Skills, it's specific to New Zealand, isn't it?
Yes, So it started in 1993 in Hamilton. It started with three schools as a pilot up there. And from the very beginning, it's always worked collaboratively with councils. Over the preceding years, it's grown to now we have over 1,100 schools across the whole country, which is amazing. And that's over 150 within those schools. We're working with over 153,000 children and young people. So
that's nationally.
Yeah.
So it's gradually going from strength to strength.
Yeah, it is. It is.
It's a voluntary thing?
Schools, it's an opt-in thing for schools, so they can choose to be part of the program. And at the moment we have, in most districts in Otago, we have more demand than we have capacity for. And again, that's a funding issue that we're working through. And
just because it takes you just for the human power to go and visit each of those schools.
So we have a facilitator that works with the school, and their role is like a coach, I think is probably the best way to describe their role. And they work primarily with the teachers to help the teachers in the school put a sustainability lens on everything that happens within the school. So they don't work very much with students directly. It's more supporting the teachers to embed sustainability, and we find that is a more sustainable model, because then the teachers are living that practice throughout the school year, whereas if we were just to come in and do, say, a unit on waste, then it's hit and miss whether a teacher would carry that work on.
And then they'll know what they're capable of, what works for the school situation.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And it's very much driven by the needs of the school. So we spend time with the schools identifying their issues, what works well for them now, where they would like to be in a few years' time, and then we support schools to reach their sustainability goals.
Mm. And so in various schools now, sustainability is a very important part of it, but it's not the only principle, is it?
No. So we take a very holistic view of sustainability, I guess is probably the best way to put it. So we're looking at, the four corners model is probably the one people are most familiar with. So we're looking at sustainability from a social, a cultural, a economic and an environmental aspect. And it's very much around working together with other groups to so the kaupapa is of creating a healthy, peaceful, sustainable world through teaching and learning together.
Right. Yeah. Sounds very good.
Yeah.
A book that I'm reading at the moment is The Infinite Game. I don't know if you've read that.
Yeah,
by Nikki Harry.
I'm reading that at the moment as well. And a lot of the ideas really resonate with the ideas that we're talking about within Enviro Schools, in terms of how do we create contexts where people can work collaboratively and share and I think her ideas around creating opportunities for people to work together are really, 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 really exciting.
So for people who don't know, it's called The Infinite Game by Nikki Harry, who's a professor of psychology up at Auckland University. And it's very interesting because she talks about, that life is kind of a game that we enter into. And it's interesting because the schools are kind of, well, perhaps not so much in New Zealand, but in many places modelled on a quite a sort of an individualistic competitive system. And I was interested to know about how Enviro Schools deals with that. You know, what kind of, is that part of your kaupapa, you know, having a more cooperative model?
Yeah, it definitely is part of our kaupapa is to have that more cooperative, collaborative approach to working together. And to because part of our guiding principle, two of our guiding principles are respecting for cultures and diversity and also acknowledging Maori perspectives. It is trying to create really open ways of working that enable others to everyone to flourish in that space, yet also to achieve the goals that that groups want to achieve.
Yes. Mm. No, it's a tricky.
It is really tricky.
It is a balance.
I know. I'm quite goal orientated. So sometimes I can get a little bit frustrated with the time it takes to do all the collaboration. But my experience of working in collaborative environments is that what happens is just so much bigger and more amazing than anything you could achieve without working in that collaborative way.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, no, it is good, and in a way, you know, so if we are sort of focused on ourselves all the time, you know, at school, and then suddenly you go out into the world, and people actually suddenly want you to collaborate because you've got to be part of a team, don't you?
And I think a lot of schools operate with enviro groups, so the group that's a small group of students who are particularly passionate about sustainability, and so they're learning to work together a lot because they drive a lot of projects within the school, and that's where we really can encourage that collaboration and that cooperation, and just the approach that we take to everything we do has that very cooperative approach rather than the competitive goal-orientated approach.
Yeah, that's great. Mm. Okay. So perhaps you don't need me to ask this question, but I was wondering if parents out there, if they don't think their school is involved registered as an enviro school, how can they go about getting that happen? Get on the waiting list.
If you're interested in your child's school becoming an enviro school, the best thing to do is go and talk to their teacher first of all, just to find out what's going on in the school already, and then you need to talk to the principal, because we need the principal on board and to be supportive before if the principal's not engaged, then it's very difficult for teachers to get traction to put sustainability across the school practices. So that's the best thing to do, is go and talk to your principals.
Yeah, you need support at all levels.
So
find out. It could be that, you know, your school's on the waiting list, or there may be things happening. But also for teachers to know that parents are interested is really important.
Absolutely. And also, if your child is at an enviro school, I think it's really important for parents to be asking, how can I support that work? Because a lot of enviro schools will do things like littlest lunches or nude food is the other way that's described, and have projects up and running. And so if parents are supporting their children and supporting the school's approach to sustainability, it makes a huge difference to what the school can achieve.
Good. So Robin, you're not, you know, you haven't been in the job for decades yet, but I'm sure you've got a bit of a vision. You know, you can see where it's heading, Like, so, you know, in your dreams, what kind of future, you know, if you see in the enviro schools, you know, what could happen to all those kids coming out of the enviro schools? What's your dream for them?
That sustainability is just part of the way they think about the world and the way they behave, and it's not even... wouldn't it be wonderful if we get to the point where we don't even have to talk about sustainability anymore, because it's just so embedded into everything that we do, and it is just the way that we think about the world. And I think on the... my vision for Otago in the nearer future would be I'd love to see more schools collaborating together on community projects for their wider community around sustainability. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that would be interesting, wouldn't
it? Yeah, I think there's a lot of opportunity for schools to connect a lot more with that wider community and within their own community. And again, I think that enables that sort of cooperative approach to working together and to building those really strong communities. Mm. And schools still are the heart of many of our communities.
Right. Mm. Oh, that sounds great. Yes, I can envision all kinds of things and really making a bigger impact.
Yeah.
So I guess if people want to find out more about EnviroSchools, where should they go?
So we do have a website, so that's a good place to go, and that's EnviroSchools. www.enviroschools.org.nz, or they can get in touch with me, and you can find me through the Otago Regional Council, and I'm happy to talk to people about EnviroSchools.
So they can just ring you up?
Yes.
Is that 4740827?
Yes. Is that there?
That's what I have written here. 4740827. But if they just ring the ORC,
they'll be put through to me. Yeah.
Great. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you very much, Robin, for coming on the show. And and I hope there's still a little bit of sun out there for you to get back out into.
Yeah. Thank you, Maureen. It's been wonderful to be on the show.
And thank you for listening. I'm Maureen Howard, and today I've been chatting with Robin Zink about EnviroSchools and the positive effect that they're having on our young people. Now, if you'd like to listen to the show again, you can download it as a podcast from the Otago Access Radio website at oar.org.nz. Eco Living in Action is supported by Taste Nature, our organic shop up on High Street. So thank you again for listening, and catch you next week.
Taste Nature is Dunedin's organic food shop and eatery at 131 High Street. Open 7 days, Taste Nature carries a wide range of certified organic primary produce and a selection of whole foods available in bulk. The eatery features seasonal organic fare made from scratch with the freshest ingredients in store. And now available, a seasonal produce box or personalised order delivered in the Dunedin area in their fully electric van. Taste Nature, online at tastenature.co.nz. And proud to be part of the Dunedin Organic Food Network.